Now, we've had a few questions, and I'm going to spend a couple of minutes talking about them. Very few of them are on Joseph, and you could work out what that means. It may be I've explained enough that you don't have any questions, but it's led me to come to the conclusion that I'm going to say a few words about these questions, and then we're going to look at the story, and we're going to finish at a certain point where it will be, as you see, highly inappropriate to answer questions. So this will be all there is to do with questions. You can think hard about your own questions. You know, the most important work you do on questions, and I do many Q&A sessions around the world, and I always say to people, if your question is a genuine question, that is, it's not simply, let's see what the speaker knows. And you can tell those questions instantly. I'm not going to make any comment on these in that direction to embarrass people. But if you have a real question, a speaker can only answer what's in the top of their head very briefly. And the important work is that you go home and do work on it. And the seriousness of your questions will be seen on whether you do that work or not. We live in an age where people sadly don't take questions seriously. And I would just say, if you have questions in your mind, work at them until you get answers that are satisfactory, especially when you're engaging other people. I'm asked constantly how you can engage, and recently was persuaded to write a little book. It's over there. It's called Have No Fear. Because many of us are afraid. I don't care who you are. You've got a level of fear and nervousness, and sometimes even shame. And where we usually fall down at the engagement level is we don't know how to ask the questions that will lead to a deeper conversation. Questions are hugely important. And so I wrote that little book, which is, I hope, very accessible and very short, to help encourage all of you to get involved. The title of this afternoon is Living for God in an Alien Culture. Well, we're in the alien culture. And to build bridges with our friends who do not share our Christian faith, we need to do that. Now, question number one, can I surprise God? Well, now, how is one supposed to react to that? I suppose the easy thing to say is you should be much more worried about God surprising you. And secondly, you should be worried about you surprising yourself. And thirdly, you should be worried about other people surprising you. Of course, I know it's a question about the way in which the complexities of God's government of this universe mix with our freedom. But the straight answer to the question, I believe, is shown to us in Scripture by many examples. One of the most powerful, I think, is the case of the Apostle Peter. The Lord told him that he was going to deny him three times. He said, no, I won't. And he got really surprised. But when he got surprised by God, by the Lord, he realized the Lord had known it already. And all these kind of questions about surprising God, that means catching God unawares as if he didn't know it. They turn on the relationship of God to time. And that is difficult. I can prove that to you very easily. We don't even know what time is, let alone what God's relationship to it is. But that it is complex is very obvious by the fact that the Lord stood on earth and said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I have written a little book on the quest of determinism and freedom. It's not so little, it's quite big. And it's over there, but I won't advertise it. Related to that, what does it mean when Scripture says God hardened Pharaoh's heart in Exodus? Well, mercifully, that's not about Genesis, so I'm going to leave you to read my answer in my book. The next question is a comparison of Joseph with Jesus. How do you see the significance of Hebrews 13? Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. I'm not quite sure what it's to do with Joseph, because it's a much later place in Israel history. My brief response is that the whole issue in the book of Hebrews is what is to be the Christian attitude ultimately to Judaism. And the early disciples in the Gospels, and later on in Acts particularly, there came a necessary split where they had to go outside the whole Jewish system and bear the reproach that that entailed. So the camp that's being referred to is the camp of Judaism. If you want to know more about that, I can thoroughly recommend a book of my colleague, David Gooding, An Unshakable Kingdom on Hebrews. And if you've never read that book, I would encourage you to get it, because it's one of the most powerful books on Christian assurance that I have ever come across. Now, here is a thank you for engaging the new atheists and supplying us with the resources to share, stand our ground. And that's what I've devoted a large part of my life to give you stuff to use, not just to read yourself and say, that was a nice book. Give the books away when you've finished with them, but use the material. That's the whole point of it. We learn from one another. You know, I used to feel often there was an impression around the place, not only in this country, but in mine and elsewhere, that the ability to speak and teach was the capacity to be original. It isn't, you know. Beware people that claim to be original. There's very few original thinkers. What Paul said to Timothy was, that which you have heard from me, that teach to faithful men who are able to teach others also. That's so important. Timothy had listened to Paul. He'd listened to the basic Christian truth. Now, says Paul, you take that stuff. He didn't say be original. He said get a hold of that stuff and you teach that stuff. So let me encourage you. It's the sharing of a known body of truth. I didn't write the Bible, you know. I'm simply sharing what's there. It's a known body of truth. The idea that we have to be original, whatever that means, is a red herring. But now there was a question on Jordan Peterson and his like. I don't think there's anybody who's quite his like, actually. Is this the new battleground, a passing phenomenon or an opportunity? Well, I would say any public intellectual that stands up and asks people to take seriously the first chapters of Genesis while questioning some of the political correctness in our modern culture is someone to be listened to, and is really bringing opportunities, because he's got a vast following on the internet. Who has not heard of Jordan Peterson here? Who has not heard of him? Well, you see, it's amazing. It's even reached South Wales. But he is a phenomenon, a very bright person. And it's wonderful to watch him wrestling and feeling he needs to speak about the Bible and lots of other things. So these are opportunities. And when we hear such people, sometimes we feel, how can I begin to cope with that? Well, maybe you can't. But we need to engage with the community, ladies and gentlemen. And the newspapers are full of all kinds of ideas and thinking that we can cope with. And we need to know what's going on in order to be able to relate to them. How do we challenge the church to wake up from the insidious, unconscious adherence to the materialistic, capitalist, default state of mind? Well, we start with ourselves. And materialism, naturalism, and these things can creep in. It's part and parcel of our education system. And we need to learn to recognize it where it is and to fight against these things. But when I read the words, the church to wake up, it immediately makes me ask the question, am I really woken up? Is there any evidence in my life that I'm awake? Can people around tell? Could they tell the non-Christian world that I know, that I'm awake, or do they think I'm asleep, and I sleepwalk into a building once or twice a week and get my spiritual fix? It's really a challenge to us. And it says the church to wake up. That's far too general. Some churches around this world are very much woken up and would put some of us to shame who are not so woken up. I'm always very wary of gratuitous expressions of the church is dead, or the church is this, or the church is that. We all need to have a look in the mirror ourselves and challenge ourselves. How much has materialism affected my thinking intellectually and in every other way? That's where we need to start. So the Lord is prepared to change things, beginning with me. That's all the questions. And so we go back to Joseph.